Well, it's good to be here today. It's not only our first time here at Dandenong Polish, but it's also our first time worshipping in person since, well, about 9 months ago. It feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? But it's nice to be in fellowship again, nice to be seeing people in person and not just watching as little squares on a screen. That's for sure. As good as it was, it's not the same as being together in person in a church. So my name's Pastor Michael Worker, and I work at the Australian Union Conference, and I've got my wife Marie with me here as well, and our friend Lydia, who works as a volunteer software developer with Faith FM at the AUC office. And Faith FM is a really valuable and important ministry that we're very proud of as a church in Australia. Before we open the Word, I just wanted to share with you an initiative we've just launched in the last little while. That on the back of what has been a very challenging year for us here in Australia and right around the world, our Australian Union President has worked with our team to launch a special month of prayer for the whole month of January. And on our AUC website and Facebook page, there'll be little videos, little two-minute videos every day through the month of January with a little prayer thought and with a special Bible verse for that day so that we can pray for not only our churches, but our nation. And as we've seen in the last couple of days, whilst we're enjoying some freedom here in Melbourne, we know that the pandemic certainly hasn't gone away. And we have our thoughts and prayers for our friends and family and the people of Sydney who are going through a bit of an outbreak at the moment. And so we certainly need to continue to pray for God's leading and intervention. As we come toward the end of the year, and as we think about what's ahead, I guess it becomes a challenge through this year to think about what does it mean to be church, and how do we go about being church and doing church and living out our faith when for so many months we can't gather together in buildings, when we can't meet together face to face, and so that is a real challenge. As we look to go forward, and want to draw some thoughts out on that very area today. But let's just pray as we begin and open the Word. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the grace that you have given us and for the gift of Jesus. And as we open your Word today, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here to help us come to a greater knowledge and understanding of you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anyone here ever been to the Greek islands? It's a beautiful part of the world, isn't it? And it's mean when we can't leave Australia to talk about somewhere as beautiful as the Greek islands. But there's certainly a spectacular part of the world: pristine beaches, beautiful blue, deep blue oceans, and it was something that had been on my wife's bucket list for many, many years, and so. Over the last couple of years, our daughters have both turned 21, and so last year we got to finally go to celebrate our daughters' 21st birthdays. I think it was more for my wife than it was our daughters, but we all benefited from it. But it is a beautiful part of the world, and as we think about that part of the world, it reminds us of so much of Paul's journey, so much of our biblical history comes from that part of the world. And one of the most fascinating parts of the Greek islands, and it was an island we didn't get to visit, I would have loved to have been to have gone there, is the island of Crete. Now, Crete is quite an interesting island. I don't know if you can visualize it a bit, but it's very long and skinny. It's actually 260 kilometers from east to west. But from north to south, in its narrowest part, it's only 12 kilometres, and in its widest part, it's 60 kilometres. And it's a very mountainous terrain, and it has been continuously inhabited since around 2700 BC. So it's almost 5,000 years of civilization on this particular island. So why do I bring up the island of Crete today? Well, a young pastor who was sent out on his very first ministry posting in the early church years was a pastor by the name of Titus. And he was sent out to minister to the people on the island of Crete. And in those days, Crete was an island with very sparse population spread out in the hills and the valleys. There was about 100 different little communities dotted all around this very mountainous island. And as one commentator described his task, it was to connect the eternal gospel that the believers had just heard and had accepted with their everyday life, and to help them to understand how accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would transform their attitudes, their values, their behaviors. And so it's a very practical book that the Apostle Paul wrote to this young intern pastor by the name of Titus. Now, Crete was a very difficult place. Crete had a bad reputation. It was not a tourist destination. It was not a popular place to go in those days. It was kind of one of those places that if you could avoid it, you would. You know, we all know those sorts of places. You don't really want to go there. Its reputation was that it was a treacherous place. It was a corrupt place. And it was a place of excess. And so it was seen to be very wicked and immoral. And so from a human point of view, it seemed like mission impossible for the church to flourish in this location, for the gospel to really go ahead there. But this was the task that was given to young Pastor Titus, to visit around all of the little churches that had begun in the various communities and to help these brand new believers to grow in their faith, to understand what it was like to be a disciple and follower of Jesus and to serve him. And so we find that this letter is very practical, very down to earth, very, very core Christian teachings. And today I want to focus on a number of verses in chapter 3, and we'll come and read some of those in a moment. But at the beginning of chapter 3, we find that Titus encourages us as believers to affirm courtesy in every controversy and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. In different translations, it translates that word courtesy as meekness or as consideration. In the New Living Translation, it is translated as being gentle and showing true humility to everyone. Now, that's great counsel, isn't it? It's really good words to live by, and it's really easy to say, but it can be quite challenging to do when we're stuck in peak hour traffic. And after months of not having to deal with peak hour traffic, we're all of a sudden confronted with traffic jams again, and I don't know, that gets frustrating, doesn't it? Or, I don't know, try going to Costco tomorrow afternoon and see how that tests your Christian courtesy as the aisles are packed with people pushing these oversized shopping carts around. You know, everyday life can really challenge demonstrating our Christianity to other people, can't it? And can really push our buttons. Sometimes that challenge to our Christian courtesy can even come into our church life because of our humanness and our flaws. Sometimes we're on the receiving end of someone speaking harshly to us or not giving us an opportunity we thought that God was leading us to do. Sometimes it happens because we're time poor or we're rushed or we have a certain perspective on a matter that we're not willing to surrender. And I believe it's in this context that the message that Paul gave to young Pastor Titus is relevant to us as we're on the cusp of 2021 and whatever that might bring. According to the great Adventist preacher Charles Bradford, he described the message of the book of Titus this way, and it's a powerful witnessing fellowship, he says, that has it all together. This is what Charles Bradford sees his vision of the church to be a place where sound, wholesome doctrine is incorporated into lifestyle, a community where the claims of law and grace are integrated and balanced, a vibrant community of the redeemed who live by grace and are distinguished by fine deeds, eager to do what is good. Doesn't that sound like a great community to be a part of? Where these things are all held in good balance with each other? Bradford goes on, he says, in the conclusion of his epistle to Titus, Paul zeroes in on the results and the outcome of grace, which is good works. It's serving one another. It's helping those who are in need. This is an amazing and a compelling vision of what God calls the church to be. And it becomes even more relevant to us when our whole definition of church has been challenged. Because church comes down to not necessarily being in a building on a Sabbath morning and worshiping together, but is how we relate to one another. It's how we relate to those around about us. It's about how we live out our faith to bless those around about us. Looking specifically at Titus chapter 3, it establishes for us a benchmark in behavior and attitude. It presents the heart of the gospel message in a compelling and powerful way. So let's come to Titus chapter 3, if you've got your Bible there or your phone. And we're going to start with the first couple of verses in Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, starting with verse 1, it says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. I don't know about you, but I found this verse pretty hard this year. Glued to the television on a Sunday, waiting for the Premier's latest announcement. Sticking within the 5 kilometres. How did you go with that? I had the little 5 kilometre circle on my phone app so that as I went riding on my bike, I found all the boundaries that I could go right up to the boundary to stick within my 5 kilometres. It wasn't always easy. But this is what we're compelled to do. Even though we might agree or disagree with what we're being told, if it doesn't contravene our faith, if it doesn't go against the Bible, this is what we're asked to do. Verse 2, I'll come back into verse 1. To be ready to do whatever is good, to slander nobody, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Not easy verses, is it? Usually we do pretty well with these verses and then we get up in the morning and the rest is a challenge. But it is what, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're called to be and how we're called to live. In commenting on these verses, Charles Bradford says that some Christians still believe that God wants them to attack those they disagree with. Some want to bring on the time of trouble by provoking the powers that be or by provoking the community as a whole through injudicious methods of spreading the truth. Paul's counsel to Titus is timeless and timely, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. Let's keep going. Verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now, there's a lot in this passage. It really summarizes the gospel well. And for me, it describes a picture of God that I want to serve. It describes God as powerful and strong, yet generous, kind, and merciful. I believe in a God who is powerful and strong, a God of strength, a God who is and will be victorious. a God who overcomes. And then this is juxtaposed with the word generous in verse 6. Our God is not miserly and grudging. He is generous. And I love that imagery. He generously poured out his Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ into our lives so that we could be a blessing to others. And when I think about generosity, I have this picture of my childhood. That in my childhood, when I was in primary school, Christmas Day would always be at my Auntie Molly's place. And I grew up in Western Melbourne, and we'd always go to her place in West Coburg, and lunch would always be a grand affair. Nothing was spared. And the highlight for me was her home-cooked boiled plum pudding wrapped in cloth, boiled on the stove, and you could just smell it when you arrived in the morning. You getting hungry yet? It's kind of that time of day, isn't it? And you could just smell this plum pudding. And being old school, she would have a collection of old pennies and threepences and whatever that she would put into the pudding as she was making it. And she knew exactly where they were so that when she was serving up these big hunks of plum pudding, she would make sure there was plenty of coins for the kids that you could cash in for, you know, currency that you could use. But then the best thing was she was the custard, the warm, homemade custard. And in this big bowl with this huge hunk of plum pudding, she'd come round with her fine china, fine bone china jug that was filled with what seemed like liquid gold. And she would pour this custard over the plum pudding until this big hunk of plum pudding disappeared under the weight of the custard. And to me, that is an image, that is a picture of generosity as my auntie poured out this custard and drowned the poor plum pudding that was underneath. And when I read this passage, when I think about the generosity of God pouring out his Holy Spirit, not wanting to hold anything back from us for our good, for our salvation, and for us to be able to bless other people, that's the picture that comes into my mind. Of warmth, of love, of generosity, of abundance that God wants to pour out into our lives, but not for our benefit, but to bring him glory. For the purpose, as the Bible says in Ephesians, of building up his church and growing his church. We are not intended to be in end in ourselves, but that we can be generous with those we mix with, those we mingle with, those we have influence with. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus who is on a mission, who has a purpose of making other disciples. And from this imagery, from these verses, we kind of get this cascading effect of how God works. Firstly, God pours the Holy Spirit into our life so that the grace that we have received can be poured into the lives of others. So that they don't just become receivers of God's grace, but they also then pour God's grace out into other people's lives. It's meant to be a through, not a destination. I like in verse 8, as it comments on this pouring out of the Holy Spirit, this rich grace that we are saved not because of what we have done, but because of his mercy. It says in verse 8, this is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things. If it was written in today's language, it would be bold, highlighted, underlined. I want you to stress these things, it says. So that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And so it is clear that for Paul, when communicating with young pastor Titus, that these are the themes that Paul wants Titus to speak about, to preach about, to model, to demonstrate, to communicate to the young believers dotted in the communities in the hills and valleys of the island of Crete. And it's just as relevant for us living in Melbourne 2,000 years later. Continuing down to verse 14, I like what Paul says. It says that our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. I find this verse really challenging because by inference it says if we are not meeting the needs of other people, if we are not looking beyond ourselves, then it says that as Christians we are unproductive. That can be challenging because it's swimming against the flow of society, because society is saying it's all about me and how I get ahead and how I get looked after. But what the Bible's saying to us is it's the opposite, is that we grow in faith, we grow in our Christian experience when we are looking to meet the needs of others. And it can be a challenge to do that because we all get busy. We've all got plenty of things to do. For me, it's running from meeting to meeting and event to event and task to task, and the list of things to do is insurmountable. And I have to stop and think, when am I taking time to meet the needs of others around me rather than just doing the things that I have to do? And it's something that as we get ready to embark on a new year, we all need to pray about and think about. How can I not be just focused on what I need to do, but being a blessing to others, sharing my faith with others? And so as we come toward a conclusion today, I'd like to bring you back into Titus chapter 2 and pick up some verses there that are also very, very powerful. Starting at verse 11 in Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." Well, we know that, to all people. "It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, that while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." And so the challenge is, while we are waiting for the blessed hope, while we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus, and when we look at what's going on in society, you sort of wonder how far away it can be. We are called to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives as we wait for Jesus to come. In another version, it says that we are called to live with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. That's a good challenge, isn't it? When you think about those words, to live with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. And so as believers on the cusp of 2021, I don't think anyone's going to regret saying goodbye to 2020. On the cusp of 2021 and whatever that may bring, in the context of being disciples who are growing as disciples, who are making disciples, we need to pause and consider our response to Jesus and his sacrifice for us. According to verse 14, Jesus gave his life for us to cleanse us and to call us to a life of service in his name. This is our purpose. This is our reason for existence of Christians, to honour and glorify him. In verse 11, it says that as sinners who have surrendered our lives to the Saviour, we are called to live with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. And I believe that as we do this, our own lives will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we embark on 2021, I would invite you to join in this special month of prayer that has been committed for the month of January, to allow God to pour the Holy Spirit into your life and ask God to give you opportunities to pour that grace that you have received into the lives of other people around about you, and that you would accept the counsel that Paul the Apostle gave to young Pastor Titus, and that is to live a life of wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God as we wait for the blessed hope of Jesus' return. Well, God bless you today.